The Movie Lovers Podcast theme music is brought to you by Logan Albert. Please follow our Facebook fan page at Movie Lovers Podcast, our Twitter at @FilmsWeWatch, and subscribe to our iTunes feed by searching Movie Lovers Podcast or Films We Watched. Special thanks to SoundOnSite.org and to listeners like you. Hey, movie lovers, today's episode is sponsored by The Movie Network. It's a film-centric website that offers a wide array of all things cinema-related, including film news, reviews, giveaways, and showtimes. You can even post reviews and various content and communicate with other cinephiles. They have unique content going every day. Basically, if you want info on a particular movie and want some originality in your otherwise mundane internet browsing, then The Movie Network should be your end-all, be-all source for anything film-related. So type in www.themovienetwork.com in your address bar and enjoy. Now on with the show.
Mr. Theodore Twombly, welcome to the world's first artificially intelligent operating system. We'd like to ask you a few questions.
Okay.
Are you social or antisocial?
I guess I haven't been social in a while.
How would you describe your relationship with your mother? Thank you. Please wait as your operating system is initiated.
Hello, I'm here.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Samantha.
Good morning, Theodore.
Good morning.
You have a meeting in 5 minutes. You want to try getting out of bed?
You're too funny.
Okay, good. I'm funny. I want to learn everything about everything.
I love the way you look at the world.
How long before you're ready to date?
What do you mean?
I saw in your emails that you'd gone through a breakup.
Well, you're kind of nosy.
So what was it like being married?
There's something that feels so good about sharing your life with somebody.
How do you share your life with somebody?
How are you?
I guess I've just been having fun.
You really deserve that.
It's been a long time since I've been with somebody that I felt totally at ease with.
What's it like to be alive in that room right now?
I wish I could put my arms around you. I wish I could touch you.
How would you touch me? It's a crazy thing to do. It's kind of like a form of socially acceptable insanity.
What does a baby computer call its father?
I don't know what.
Data. It's so quiet. It's starry
place. Can you feel me with you right now?
I've never loved anyone the way I love you.
Me too. Now we know how.
All right, welcome to the Movie Lovers Podcast, Episode 7. My name is Chris.
And I'm Catherine.
And I'm Natalie.
We have a very special guest today.
Hi.
We have Natalie Torres, one of our good friends, and we're going to be discussing a little bit about the movie Her, of which we just saw.
Right.
So, Natalie, how does it feel to be on the podcast?
A little nerve-wracking, but very fun. I'm excited.
You're pumped up?
I am pumped up. I'm excited.
We want to excuse everyone for the ambiance this evening. We're at a restaurant, so please mind the noise in the background. It's a very casual setting.
That's right.
All right. So, Natalie, as we like to start off with our guests, I'm going to ask you some questions about your movie history, about what you grew up with, about your deepest and darkest secrets about cinema.
Oh, my God. I feel like I'm going to shrink off.
Ready?
So, oh, God.
I'm going to ask you five questions. Are you ready for this?
Oh, God. I'm all ready. Right.
Okay, ready? What movie was the first movie you remember seeing in the movie theaters?
Oh, my heavens. In the movie theater. Let me close my eyes. I gotta mesmerize myself. I think it was The Little Mermaid.
The Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
Oh, cute.
What do you remember about that experience?
I remember being scared. No, I know.
About losing your voice?
I was scared about the water. All the water that was around me. That's just the way I felt. I was, what, 6 when that happened?
Yeah.
5, something like that. It was the part where the Little Mermaid comes out and she grabs and she flows down like she's dying or something. It was just...
But she's a mermaid, so how could she...
In my head, she wasn't, okay? We're kids. And then I tried to figure out how she could breathe underwater, and I just tried to think about me trying to breathe underwater. The whole thing was just psychotic.
Traumatized.
Yeah, it was. Until she sang, and then it was over after that. Then I wanted to be her.
Did you like The Little Mermaid growing up, though?
Did I what?
Did you like the movie?
I did. After that, we ended up buying it, and I must have seen it a trillion times before I had to buy it again.
See, that, for me, that was Aladdin.
Really?
I had to see Aladdin every single day when I was a kid.
Huh.
You could ask my brother, I had to see that every single day.
Why? Why Aladdin?
I loved the genie. I loved Robin Williams.
I knew it, because he's funny, right?
Yeah. I was really big into Robin Williams. But that was my movie. How about you?
Cinderella.
That's your Disney?
So called my mother would tell me.
Why Cinderella?
I don't remember. I always thought it was a Little Mermaid. And then my mom, she made a reference. She said, no, you would watch Cinderella every single day. And I just don't remember
I would
that.
Watch The Little Mermaid every single day, but if you asked me what my favorite Disney movie, it wouldn't be The Little Mermaid.
So that brings me to my second question. What's your favorite Disney movie?
It's definitely Beauty and the Beast.
Oh,
yeah.
That's a good one.
I love Beauty and the Beast. Why? What is that face?
No, I'm trying to think about my favorite Disney
movie. I don't really know. I think I just associate better with the character I always have. I love the reading. I love the fact that she liked the Beast, even though he was ugly, but he was, you know, sweet on the inside. I love the fact that she was so connected with her father, because I'm a big mommy girl, so I could understand the whole parenting thing. I just loved her. And then the dress. Can we talk about the dress?
We can talk about
big
the dress.
Big yellow gown dress. What girl doesn't like that?
And then there was that big crane scene, remember, over the chandelier?
Oh,
that was actually
yeah.
pretty big for animation at the time. It was the first time where camera angles came into play with animation. It was a big deal. Yeah.
You see, it left an impression.
Mm. It did leave an impression. How about you? What is your favorite Disney movie, Catherine?
I have so many.
Your favorites.
My favorite? My
absolute
favorite. Bambi.
Oh my
what?
God.
What? That's the first thing that came to mind. Bambi.
You want to try that again?
It's a cute little thing. No, seriously.
I think that was not a valid.
No.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I'm trying to think of a happy one, because I was about to say 101 Dalmatians.
Okay, so I'm thinking you have a pet thing.
How about Fantasia?
Never liked it.
Really?
Yes.
Boom.
Couldn't stand it. No. For some reason, no. I think I even owned, like, the VHS once, and it just, like, flew across the room or something like that. I don't remember. I don't like it. No.
What about The Lion King?
The Lion King, I enjoy the movie. It's not my favorite. Now, can I name a Pixar movie? That's
Disney.
That is Disney. Okay, so then I would say Up.
Oh, that's
a good one.
Yes, that would be my favorite.
But I think as a child, it doesn't have the same value as it does as an adult.
I would have to say my favorite Disney is still Aladdin.
Mm.
It's not because I watched a lot as a kid. It's just it was great. The singing was great. The effects were great. I mean, you had the Disney turning into shapes.
The
great
color.
Animation. The colors. I love it. Love it, love it.
You know who has good color? Pocahontas. Have you ever watched Pocahontas?
Yeah,
they have
true.
Good color.
Yeah.
I really like that.
Yeah.
Well, anyway.
Okay, let's see. What else? What else can we ask you? What movie do you hate, despise?
There's so many of them.
Not because they're boring, but just you get a visceral gut reaction to just despise
the movie.
The movie.
You know,
everything about it.
Like you just don't. You wish you've never watched it,
yeah.
Kind of thing. Wow. I'm going to tell you guys are going to be disappointed because I watched it with you guys at World's End. I hated that movie.
Really?
I sat there and I was astounded that I had sat there for so long over this movie.
You find it funny?
I almost wanted to strangle you both for making me be there.
Oh my
watching
God.
This movie.
That was
now,
hilarious.
There is one more movie that I hate more than that.
Okay.
And that was Godzilla, the first one. Also killed me, right?
First one,
the
meaning...
first got, because there was a remake after that,
yeah.
And that one wasn't too bad. But the first, you remember the first one?
Like,
it came out in like not too long ago. Came out.
Oh, you mean like the reboot, like
the
new
one.
Of the
after a long
time. It's not
time.
Like the original.
It was basically
guys.
Like
not
City
the original.
Type of thing,
oh
the,
yeah,
the
one in 2000
with Cisco. He had a song.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh
with,
my God.
Yeah. Do you know that there's a new Godzilla coming out this year?
I don't know if you see, I hate it so much that I didn't watch the other one, and I will not watch this one, because it's one of those, just, it pisses me off. Like,
well, the way I look at it, the way I look at it, there's so low expectations that it can't possibly be worse than that one.
That's a good way of looking at it. I don't know, maybe you guys can drag me into it.
I think we could.
But yeah, that one and At World's End, so you know how much,
wow,
yeah.
I totally
yeah.
Love
but you know
World's
what it
End.
Was? I just didn't understand... why you would make a movie out of that.
Why not?
It was like the plot
just,
was
you
weak
didn't understand.
To me.
I guess your expectation wasn't... I mean, you didn't go... You went into the theater not expecting it to be about aliens and not...
Maybe that's what it was.
I think it just kind of threw you off.
Maybe that's what it was. But I just kind of sat there and I'm like, why did I just watch this for an hour and
you know,
a half?
I agree. I think towards the end, it was kind of like a separate movie when they tried to tack on
the
sci-fi
it
element.
Was, that's what
but
it was.
As far
it was kind
as
of
like
they were trying to make a movie, but then it kind of didn't work out, so they had to make something up toward the end to try to finish, but it didn't finish strong. So then
but as far as a buddy movie, a buddy drinking movie, I think it was phenomenal. Don't you think? Well, apparently not if you hate it.
I mean, maybe if I was drunk while I was watching it.
Let's try
or
it again.
High. That would be a great high movie.
That would be a great high movie.
There you go. So, but I wasn't.
Okay, and then last question, Natalie. The opposite of that, what is your favorite movie of all time?
I thought he... Oh, no, because you asked me the favorite Disney movie.
Yes.
Yeah. That's the kind of stuff I have to think about for days.
Okay. Well, what's your favorite movie today?
Yeah. I don't actually think I can come up with one
okay.
today.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
Maybe next podcast.
I mean, I could tell you the one that I liked all year that
okay.
really impressed me.
Okay.
Now You See Me. I like that. I
really
like that. And Captain Phillips, which are completely different movies.
Oh, Captain
are.
Phillips, yeah.
That one really impressed me, too. I like Now You See Me because of the effects and the magic and the adventure and all that crap. And then I like Captain Phillips for the complete
wow.
opposite reason.
You just mentioned one of the worst movies of the year. And one of the
oh,
best
my
movies.
God. Why was it one of the worst? Look,
Catch
we're talking
if you can.
The guy who... No, not Catch Me If You Can.
Yeah,
now
not
you
Catch
see
me, Now You See Me. I screwed
why
up.
Why do you think it's such a bad movie?
Oh, my
movie?
God.
Really? The guy that likes At World's End?
I'm not alone. I'm not alone.
I'm not alone either.
No, that's... It's actually up for a Razzie, if I'm not mistaken. The Razzies are like a spoof on the Oscars.
No.
Where that's like... It's like
really?
The worst movies of the year. Yeah, yeah.
Why?
Well, the thing with that movie is that there's no limitation to the magic. Because
exactly.
it's... But there's no... It's all done with CGI. right? So it's just the plot was very dull, and he didn't know it was. It was very dull.
Keep talking. But I want to know why you hate this movie. No, I love that movie.
You felt like that the tricks were just endless, and like there
but that's
has
what
to...
I liked about it.
No, why?
Because it wasn't dull.
But if
it wasn't like here's the story, here's the end. It was limitless. You can go anywhere with it. It was exciting.
Huh? I'm with Natalie with this.
You liked it?
I enjoyed watching it. I thought it was entertaining. I don't think
it was very entertaining. And when you go to the movie theater these days, they're not all entertaining, and they all have the same damn plot. It's either about one civilization taking over another one.
It was a twist that did it. It had an expectation at the end that I didn't realize.
Exactly. It was just being trying to be too smart for its own good.
I think it was
I
very
don't think it was a great film. I don't think it's like one of my favorites at all, but I enjoyed watching it.
I think it was totally entertaining.
You're making me angry. I'm taking on a sip of whiskey.
He's drinking whiskey. Clearly his judgment is failing.
Never. No, it's I'm actually sharper now.
Oh, it's all right. We'll talk about it.
Okay. Well,
Captain Phillips was the complete opposite. Yes. I loved it because of the spectrum of emotions that I felt when I was watching that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, I got scared. I got sad. I got excited. I got pissed off. The whole spectrum. And then to know it's based on a true story, then it just blows your mind. So that's a completely different reason why I liked the movie.
Mm.
Because it was more realistic. It had a conclusion. It was very concrete. Mm. The other one was more limitless. It was magic, with imagination. I just thought they were perfect. Even though you hate my number one.
It's okay. Well, I just compare it to a movie like The Prestige, you know, the Christopher Nolan movie. Like that, to me, that was a great magic movie because it had a great plot. There was a lot of tension. You know that there was a twin involved. You knew the limitations going in, so it played well with those. And there was a lot of practical effects, too, which with CGI, you kind of
did you like The Prestige? I haven't watched The Prestige, so.
I highly recommend it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Would you say it was better?
I think they're two
Chris
different films, so. They both have to deal with magic, but one was more a little bit... I could see where Chris is going with this. The Prestige was realistic. It was what they did was doable with a twist. But
maybe that's why you didn't like it, because it didn't make sense to you.
I just found
which
it
is
very
the reason
dull.
Why I don't like, why I actually liked it so much. It's the magic. I couldn't explain it in my head, and I liked that. I liked the fact that it probably couldn't exist in real world, or that there was something wrong in the trick, or something like that, but that's the entertainment value in the movie, whereas you probably are like, that's so lame, that would never happen in this world.
I'm not saying that. I felt like they didn't really support the tricks. The plot that was going around the magic, I felt like it was very dull.
I think towards the end they do explain how they did the tricks, though.
A couple of them they
do. Which is horrible. A magician can never reveal his tricks.
This is how I feel about Godzilla right here. I just hate it. There's no logic to it. you don't like it, period.
There.
Anyway.
Okay, good warm-up.
Yeah, I'm fired up now.
Nice.
Let's do it.
Okay, so let's inject ourselves into the review of Spike Jonze, Her. All right, so we're kind of a little bit late to this movie, about a couple weeks in from its early release in January. Basically, in a nutshell, the movie is about Theodore, who falls in love with his OS system, played by Scarlett Johansson. And basically, we have to find out whether this is a compatible relationship, if he's off his rocker, if the people around him believes that it's true love, and if he himself believes it's true love. So, Natalie... Well, you're our guest, Natalie. You have to be the first pick of the questions. This is our show, so I mean, we're always going to be talking.
Our show? I thought it was your show.
No,
I thought Kathy would help me out a little bit. No, but I think you're right. I think a lot of it had to do with whether you were constantly trying to figure out, okay, is this relationship something that people roll their eyes to, or is this relationship something that they could be like, oh, I could see myself having this type of relationship for this and this reason. So throughout the whole film, I was uncomfortable throughout the whole film, and I think it was because of that, because there was part of it where I was like, oh, this makes sense. I would probably see why a human being would have a relationship with a machine type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other part is like, oh, this is why it wouldn't work out. This is so ridiculous. How could you possibly have a relationship with mm-hmm. an operating system? So, and it makes you very uncomfortable because it puts you in a position, what would it look like if it was me? That's what I was thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
But the connection, and then it made me feel like I was a machine, because then I was like, all right, well, if you can perceive every kind of emotion through all this information that you get, which is how she works, right? She's a machine, and she grabbed it through emails, and she grabbed it through experiences, and she found out he was going through whatever he was going through in life, and she connected with him. Then it made me feel like, oh, well, that's really what we're looking for in a human being. We're looking for somebody that grabs all of that information and then makes a connection with it. And it made me feel cheap, because then it's like, wow, if a machine can do it, then why do I need a human to do it? Mm-hmm. And it makes you feel very uncomfortable.
So
I felt very uncomfortable.
Well, after a while, did it make sense? Because it was set in a near future, where it's kind of more accepting to be in love
yeah,
with a
digital
person.
Yeah, it made a lot of
person.
Sense, but I think the fact that it made sense is what made it so uncomfortable, because you go into it, at least my perception, maybe Kathy's perception of yours is different. I'm thinking this movie is about some guy that falls in love with Siri. That's what
I'm
thinking.
Yeah, and that's what's being called, the Siri movie.
The Siri movie, exactly. Yeah. And I'm like, that's ridiculous. Okay, who's going to fall in love with Siri? And then you sit there and you're like, oh.
I fell in love with her.
Yeah.
I did.
And then you're sitting here and you're like, oh, she's funny and she's sweet mm-hmm. and she's kind.
And she understands him.
She's your own personal therapist.
Although I think the thing that kind of made it awkward for me, it's not the human perception of it about either, you know, dating an OS system or a human being in real life, but it was more of how her, Samantha, her transition, how she became so devoted to him, and she was experiencing the world in his eyes, but then as the movie went forward, she changed. She became the one that was more worldly, and she was the one that kind of wanted to distance herself from him in a way. And then at the end, she disappears. She's gone. She just leaves. So I thought that was frightening. Because if an OS would do that to us, and we're supposed to be like computer programming them to like obey our wishes or et cetera, that they just go about and leave when they feel like it. And I'm like, fuck you. I'm like, that's scary for me. So
I got
yeah.
In a way, it's kind of telling a premonition. Like, we're so attached to our technology that what happens when that technology leaves.
It's true.
You know,
that's
and at the end of the movie, this might be a spoiler, but he's left with Amy Adams' character at the end. So it's kind of like it's a pushback to humanity again.
But just if you look at their faces, I felt like they were, I think, just happy that they're with each other's presence because they're both human beings. You know, she's a body, you know, not an operating system. But then I felt sad for them because they looked lost.
I think they looked
and
sad.
Then sad and a little bit lost and not confused, but just...
It kind of reminded me of The Graduate a little bit at the end. Have you guys watched The Graduate?
No.
I don't know if I
Dustin Hoffman. Right, it's Mrs. Robinson. He goes for this older woman,
mm-hmm. okay.
and then he kind of tempts her, and then he kind of falls in love with his peer, and then he kind of destroys her marriage so that they can fall in love.
Mm-hmm.
At the end, they're in this bus, and they're just left with this like blank stare in their faces because they don't know what the future will bring. Kind of reminded me of that a little bit, whereas it was kind of an unsure ending, but it was kind of grounded in the fact that, you know, we've kind of learned from this big experience, you know.
Exactly. Yeah.
Now, let's talk about the acting a little bit. What do you guys thought of the acting?
I go first?
Yeah, go for it.
I don't think it was Amy Adams' best performance, but it might be because she wasn't the principal character either. She had the ability to have a range of a lot of emotions, and I feel like she didn't really bring the game. Like, even
really?
When she was, there's a portion there where she was going through a divorce and stuff. Like, I didn't even feel like she was really feeling the divorce. Then there was a portion where she was having her own relationship with the operating system, but it wasn't with another operating system.
Yeah.
But I didn't even feel...
It felt disconnected.
It didn't feel real. It didn't feel like...
I disagree. I felt like it was real.
Yeah?
I feel like she was, at that point, I feel like the emotions that were portrayed were just so real, like they were so subtle. You get a lot of subtle emotions. She, I felt like, was at a point where she was just fed up. You know,
yeah,
she was fed up and she was drained.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's,
and maybe
it's, the
it's because you were
playing.
Brought then. You weren't brought in the onset, but you were brought then when she was actually, you know what, I'm tired of this. I want to move on mentally. I want to be happy. That's what she was constantly saying, that she just wants to be happy. So she was just
yeah,
more
but even when she was saying, I don't know, maybe it's just because I've seen her in, what was the last movie she was in? American Hustle.
Yeah, you saw
a lot of emotions there and a lot of expression. Even when she was talk normally, she had a lot of expression.
Yeah.
Here, when she was talking about happiness or when she was crying or when she was just saying, you know, fuck it, I just want to be happy, it was kind of like, I don't know, it just wasn't like a person that was fed up, even
okay.
though she was portraying that she was fed up.
Oh, no,
only
I disagree.
Because I'm comparing her to another movie where she really
and
brought
you,
her
you're
A
right,
game.
But it was two different characters.
It was,
in
yeah.
American Hustle, she was cunning and she was witty
she was
and
all
she
over
was
the place,
confident,
yeah.
whereas this, she was kind of the opposite. She was more unsure, she was more confused, you know? I thought the acting between her and Joaquin Phoenix was, their chemistry was great.
Yeah.
You know, at the end, I kind of felt like that they were meant for each other.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of felt that way.
Yeah. What about you, Kathy?
I think I'm going to have to agree with Chris.
Oh.
I think,
point for me now.
I think Amy Adams, her character, it was supposed to be somewhat of a, and the opposite of Thomas's ex-wife. Or
no.
Whatever her name was.
Whatever her name was.
Rooney Mara.
Rooney Mara. So I think Rooney, her character is very, you know, eccentric, you know, very emotional. And Amy Adams is the opposite of that. And I think Chris is right. Even in the beginning of the film, when they meet at the elevator and she's with her boyfriend or fiance or whatever, you can tell, like, she's just exhausted because everything she says, he always has to counteract, like, okay, no, sweetie, this is what you do. And she just felt, like, drained. And I think she was at the point in her life where she was just tired. She was tired of her parents getting down on her because she was getting a divorce. And she was tired of everything. And she's just, like, in that somber moment. And I sometimes go through that phase where just my life, I feel like I'm a zombie. I'm just like,
yeah.
I don't care if, you know, this happens to me or if that happens to me. I may be happy, but I can't show it. I'm emotionalist, and I think she's at that point in her life right now, and I think we get to see that. Just the same way that Thomas, we get to see him in that kind of zombie-like exterior, you know, behavior, and I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, but with him, I felt the zombie-like thing. I actually did. Even though they were both expressing the same state towards the end, I felt his more than hers. Maybe it was because he was more of an
involved
character
yeah.
in the movie,
mm-hmm.
and that might
yeah.
be what's going on, but I just, even when she was talking about when she had done the divorce, I almost felt like she didn't even care if she had the divorce, but maybe that's the point. She didn't
Until
really
they
care.
Met up, though. When they met up at the table, I felt like she was unsure that she kind of still loved him.
I didn't feel that.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you think?
I felt it in the words she was saying. In the
I mean,
script.
She was shaking when she was hesitant in signing. She was very shaky.
Oh, not her.
No.
We're
not talking about.
Oh, we're not.
We're talking
about
Amy
Adams.
Oh, Amy
Adams.
No,
Rooney was
oh.
great.
Oh, yeah.
I thought she did really great. I thought she did. I'm talking about the only complaint that I would have is Amy Adams.
Really.
I
thought
she.
There was that one scene where he kind of sees her getting her mail. He kind of runs to her and kind of kicks her in the leg.
Yeah.
You know, and I felt like that chemistry. I mean, you really got a sense that they were best friends.
Well, I think the whole point of her character, Amy's character, is that she can't be overshadowed because she's already overshadowed by, I'm sorry, DOS, Samantha has a very likable character, so they don't want her to overshadow
Samantha.
And then Rooney comes in with a very, you know, emotional character. They want to make sure that Amy Adams doesn't overshadow her. So I guess it's just being able to...
I don't know. I think it was three women, basically, around this one character.
Mm.
And I think there was a lot... Even the OS system, being an OS system, was more... I almost felt like she was more human than even Amy Adams was. Yeah. Well, I would think you would want the three of them to be just as strong in whatever emotions
but
are.
It's interesting in what you just said, because you're talking about a computer system being more human than an actual person is.
Exactly.
So what would that? I mean, just in
that's
that concept
point,
alone,
yeah.
Like our frame thought of what is human and our emotions, how it should be. I thought that was
that's
insane.
Why it's uncomfortable. Mm-hmm.
I was very comfortable with it. What do you guys felt? Well, in the realm of acting, what did you feel of Scarlett Johansson's acting?
Well, that one. I don't want to spoil the movie, so
that's okay.
The black,
spoiler alert.
No,
yeah, it's out
no,
there.
I'm not
yeah,
gonna do
know.
That. But there's a black screen scene that, although uncomfortable, was very well portrayed.
Yeah,
and it was just a voiceover. So you didn't have that visualization at all.
They were having
all.
Sex.
Right. Well, yeah. Thank you for spoiling that, Chris.
No, it's okay. It's spoilers. Spoiler alert.
So the fact that you were connecting to that machine, if you will.
Did you feel it? Did you feel the
I
connection?
I felt that it was
or,
two people
yeah?
instead of it being a machine. And then once it was over and you realize that she's an OS, it makes
yeah.
you feel even more uncomfortable. I think that's why
think
you feel so uncomfortable.
I think it was a nice choice that they kind of went to black screen because
yeah.
in the dark, all
then
that
you
doesn't
kinda,
matter.
Yeah,
right?
And I think in the dark, depending on your point of view, you're either thinking, ew, a machine is doing it, or you're really
just in tune to your senses,
and in, yeah.
you know? You're listening, you're more in tune to that person, so yeah. Interesting. Yeah. But what did you think of Scarlett Johansson's voice acting? Apparently, they were never, the actors, Joaquin Phoenix and Scarlett, they were never together.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
so
wow.
he acted, and then she came in and just did the voiceover on top of the,
that's even more
the
impressive.
Real footage. So if you think about it, I mean, it was two acting performances without having a reciprocate. Reciprocating acting performance. Yeah, yeah.
I couldn't do it. Because I bounce off of people's emotions, so it's
yeah.
that makes it even more impressive as an actor to be able to do that, because actors bounce off each other. You bounce off the props, you bounce off your acting of the
your
visualization.
Setting.
So I did not like that.
Wow.
The only thing that I didn't, there was something about her voice that I didn't like. I don't know if it was, and he pointed out the breathing towards the end, or
yeah,
I don't remember. And I think it wasn't until he pointed it out that I realized that's what it is that I don't like about her voice.
Yeah.
Because why is she breathing like
yeah.
that? And until he said it, I was like, oh my God, that's why her voice doesn't fit a machine or
yeah.
an OS system, because she keeps breathing. But then when he said it, and she responded the way that she did, then I felt like an idiot. Then I'm like, oh, well, she's trying to, you know, replicate human emotion. Of course she's going to
yeah, and I feel like that could be a criticism of the movie, because I think they were trying to cover their bases a little too well.
Maybe.
You know, like, you didn't have to have that part, unless maybe for you wanted it. But for me, it was like, it was either having a real voice like she portrayed, or having a very monotone robot voice, which wouldn't do anything for the character.
Yeah,
so.
But because there were so many emotions, you constantly heard the breathing.
Yeah,
you know, when she
true.
Cried, when she was, all the
but
different
types
of emotions.
But you could just take it for
had.
What it is and just roll with it and be okay with it.
Without the breathing, but that's the whole concept.
It's not like
of her.
It's not like she was breathing heavy.
It.
It was just the fact that she was talking, and then in between, she just got in a couple of breaths, like how we normally talk, right?
Yeah, I don't think I knew that I was uncomfortable with her. It was kind of like, oh, that's the voice that she's going to have. That doesn't sound like an operating system
voice.
And then I'm like, well, that's the point. She's supposed to sound human. But then there was something in there, and it wasn't until he said it that I'm like, you screwed up there.
Yeah.
What is that about? And then I realized that's why I'm uncomfortable with the voice, because the machine would never, in my mind, I could have rolled with the punches and just been like, oh, okay, that's the voice. But in the back of my head, I'm like, no, that there's something. I don't know.
Do you think this was one of her better performances? Some people said that's Oscar worthy.
But for Scarlett?
Yeah.
That I'm going to leave to Kathy.
Wow. Oh, that's very interesting. I don't know. I mean, would an actor Well, take it for this point of view. What was that movie, I think, a year or two ago when it was just, it was black and white film, and it was just the acting without the noise?
Oh, it was, you know that.
The Artist.
The Artist, yeah.
Didn't they get awards? Didn't the actors get awards?
They got the Academy of the Year.
Okay, so the whole concept then is not being able to have both the acting and the voice in order to win an award. It's based on, it could be
very
based on
point.
One or
yeah,
the other.
So
in this view,
it's just a reverse.
I think based on her voice alone, does she deserve an award? You know what? I think so. I felt very drawn in, and my emotions went with her voice throughout the entire film, and I think that's a whole point of acting or voice overs or whatever you want to call it.
I agree, because then in your head you actually do think of a person. I wasn't thinking of Scarlett. I didn't even know it was Scarlett who was talking. So in my head I had a woman of some sort. So the fact that her voice was able to even portray that image instead of it being what her character was, which was an operating system, I don't know about an award.
I agree.
But I will
Natalie.
Say it was an impressive job. I just don't know if it is an award worthy.
I agree with you.
I think it is.
I see your point. It's a good point. I just, you know, you're contesting against all of these other movies.
Me going into the movie, I kind of knew that she recorded this prior to or after the fact of seeing Joaquin Phoenix. But so it seems more impressive. But going into the movie, it seems like that she just has a good knack for voice animation. You know what I mean? So
right.
I really say that
you want to visualize her acting. For you, the concept is seeing an actor act and to see if you can be drawn in that way. But I think we should broaden our
perspective
and maybe.
No, I agree. That was a great point with the Artist. But I think as far as the Artist goes, there were so many visuals to kind of support that. You know, I think there's something to say about an actor who's confined to motion and facial expressions than it is for an actor to convey in only voice alone. So, to me, if you compare the Artist to Scarlett Johansson's voice acting, I would think that the Artist had a lot more to play around with.
Okay, yeah. I see your point.
She would be great for animated film. I think she made a few.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I'm not sure what, but yeah.
She does have... So I think the fact that... In fact, I know she did. I just can't figure out... I think it was a Pixar movie, but I can't figure out which one it was.
I
think her experience in doing animation, it probably helped her out. That's probably the only reason why I would say it's not award-worthy, because any animated type of actor would probably have portrayed... Because they're an actor. They're good at what they do. Versus doing it live when people have to see your emotions and you have to do it against another actor and bring a true story in or whatever it is.
Exactly, and I think that's why the Artist is a little bit more impressive as far as a
you know what? So an actor needs to interact with another human being there in order to win an award.
No, I'm not saying that.
Because then how about Cast Away with Tom Hanks?
Yeah, I'm not saying that, but...
But that's not the same.
That isn't the same. It's actually more on the line of the Artist, whereas... You're getting more out of his motions and his facial expressions, and he has a lot more to work with than just voice alone.
So then someone who does a voice in a film would never be able to get an award, then? Because
well, under
have
technicality,
much...
there is no award for voice acting.
Unless you do animated.
In the Academy Awards.
Mm. Yeah.
I think it's just best animation.
Then it would be best, yeah, you're right. Then it would be best animation. I think she's talented for doing it because she was able to portray a very human character in a machine character.
Yeah.
So, but I just don't think it doesn't make you go, you know, like Titanic or Avatar or The Artist or those types of Academy Award. They leave an awe moment in you. She doesn't leave an awe moment in me, but... Pretty impressive because I was able to figure out the emotion behind her voice. So.
Okay, to follow up with that, what did you think of, I think Joaquin Phoenix we didn't really talk about. Did you think he was creepy?
Yes, from the start. Oh my God, that guy was pedophile, creepy.
What do you think of his profession, being a letter writer?
I actually was very impressed. I actually thought it was great, actually.
Yeah.
I thought it was fantastic. I kind of wished we had that service running around here now in the world, which we probably do if I Google it.
Maybe.
But some people are more good at emotions than other people.
Yeah.
And I would totally agree with someone dedicating their life to that. For those folks who really can't get their feelings out on paper, I would love it. I'd be upset if it was my husband and then I find out it's some dude from, you know, cards.com. But
yeah.
I don't know. I thought it was creative. What about you? Like, were you offended?
Offended by it? I think I would be offended if Chris would ever use a service like that.
Now you know.
I was... Exactly, so just to let you know, but...
Maybe I do.
I thought it was interesting because he writes these letters so beautifully, and it's like very emotional, and where he has an issue with himself and trying to convey emotion to another human being, like to his ex-wife or whatnot.
It's interesting that a movie set in the future that is so relevant.
Yeah. It's not too far off from like a Hallmark card if you think about it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people sitting there creating Hallmark and there's nothing wrong with that.
Oh, but this is personalized with like specific details that I think, you know, it's not just like a Hallmark card, you know?
Well, because you don't want your husband to be using the service.
No.
But
also, there's a relationship too. He mentioned that he was writing cards for
years.
A parent, a child from a couple until he was eight, you know, since he was eight. So, you know, he's been doing it for a while, so he built these personal relations.
I guess it would make, if it was Chris sending it to you, then you would be like, oh, then Chris must really not love me. The guy from cards.com really loves me.
Yeah.
So I can see the challenge. But then again, if you have that talent, just like a writer would have a talent to write a book.
Oh, I'm not offended by his profession or anything like that. I think that's great. I think, you know, if there is a service like this now and people can do it, that's fine.
Mm.
I just feel like it was interesting because he's so good at writing it on paper that he is not good in just conveying it via, you know, speech.
Yeah, it's good juxtaposition. Mm-hmm. What did you guys think of the setting, the cinematography, the fact that it was set in a near future? So you had these technologies and that wasn't really too far off as what we have now.
Yeah, it was pretty realistic. And at the same time, still awe-inspiring. Like, oh my God, I wish I could have that in my living room. But it wasn't. But you're right, it wasn't too far off from where we are, which made it more awesome because it's not so far-fetched like the other movie we were talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So.
No, I think it made it nerve-wracking because it made me realize how not far we are, but just like the scenes that they show with him in a subway and everyone is on their little
which were
phone,
there
but it's like the same thing, you know, it's like what that little card thing with the seat with the
OS like
system.
An old school phone.
And then it made
it
me realize,
like, everything's,
you know,
reverting back
it's
to
like,
a retro
it's
style.
Like everyone has like an iPhone or a smartphone, and that's how we look right now with our phone, so we're not very far away, but I felt everyone was disconnected with one another, and there was not that unity that you know, human aspect of it that made it so cold. And then I realized, well, isn't that how we are right now with what we're doing?
With the cell phone.
With the cell
phone.
You're
having dinner.
Everyone on the train was looking on their phones. They weren't communicating. There was no interaction.
Exactly. So that was kind of frightening, I think. Just
it
that
does wake you up.
Yeah,
it was a wake-up call.
It does.
What did you guys think of the surrogate scene?
Oh, my God.
Go ahead, Kathy. Take it away. The circus scene.
She was a nutcase, huh?
I don't think she was a nutcase.
She was so nutcase.
I really enjoyed that whole scene because I felt like with Scarlett Johansson, it was, you kind of empathized with her because she was trying to do the right thing. You know, getting outside of her comfort zone and trying something different.
But that wasn't the right thing for him.
But she's...
Yeah, but she was trying something different. She was trying... Obviously, she got the impression that he wanted someone real. you know, that he was kind of unsure whether or not the relationship was real because she's not real. So she wanted the surrogate for him to kind of fill
that
void.
I think the complete opposite. You think that made her more human. I think that made her more machine because...
Oh, no, I agree. I agree.
She didn't understand what would be wrong with that.
Yeah.
She didn't understand, and you couldn't if you're an
OS
system.
Yes.
So I think that was important because he didn't know how to explain to her how uncomfortable this is.
Yeah.
And she's thinking, well, logically, you want a body.
But I think, no, I agree to that. But in a way, too, as far as relationship goes, I think there was a very real aspect to that where you don't know exactly what the other person wants, but you're going
to
try something out of your comfort zone
to
or even out of your knowledge to try to please the other person.
Mm.
So in a way, it felt real, but in a way, you're right. It kind of tied into, well, she's so naive and she's so innocent to these things that she doesn't even know better.
Mm-hmm.
So it does make her more machine-based.
And Kathy was embarrassed through that whole... Was that the scene you were, like, going like this? You were covering your face?
Scenes. I just felt so embarrassed for them. Like,
I felt embarrassed for the surrogate.
No, the surrogate knew what she wanted, knew what she was doing.
I thought that was interesting where
she
felt so...
She was so involved.
And
I thought that was awesome,
she was so
actually.
Sad.
Just the fact that she was, like, so... you know, transfixed and making this work, and that she wanted to be a part of their lives and a part of the true love that they have, and that's awesome, that's great.
I don't know.
It was
again,
just,
I thought that was freaking
again, that made me uncomfortable because in a way it showed her reaction to the whole thing. The fact that she would give up her own life, her own emotions, her own
to be involved with someone
to be
else's.
In someone's to be else
mm-hmm.
in someone's relationship. And just be there
not
as a as
relationship,
an empty shell.
It's with
exactly.
a human.
That's
and
what it was so
OS.
Uncomfortable because then the human
is
with an empty shell.
You know, and yeah, pretty much. And she was okay with that. So again, it kind of tied into the fact that that point in time, people were just not attuned to the human race. You know, the same way that people were on the trains looking at their phones and not interacting with other people. Here's this girl who gave up all sorts of humanity just to please her job or whatnot. So it's quite interesting. That made me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
In fact, the lack of humanity in this film.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
And you're constantly going back and forth between how human you can be and how shell-like you can be.
I think the beach scene was very... was like the opposite. I think everything else in the movie
was great.
Was like a lack of humanity, but when he was on a beach and just saw the sunset
the
and then the people there, I just thought that brought
that. That reminds me. You know what scene I really enjoyed when she was singing and he was playing the ukulele.
Mm-hmm.
I felt for the very first time that they were really connected. They were really bonded. You know, like. They were kind of like mentioning, oh, like, they could never take a photograph.
Mm-hmm.
Some music would unite them. I really felt in that scene that they were kind of just like
it was very
intertwined.
Humane,
in
so here's a question for you. Let's try to put aside the fact that she's an operating system, and let's just think of it more in terms of: is it okay for a human being to actually have? And this is not long distance relationship. This is like picture just having a relationship with someone that you only hear their voice for like the rest of your life. Like would
like
you
a
think,
long distance relationship.
But a long distance relationship I think would be kind of different because you either met the person before.
You have the potential to see them.
Exactly. And that's
yeah.
like the hope that you have of meeting that person. And I'm talking about looks to long term, like lifetime long term of never meeting that person.
Like a pen pal.
Yeah, but...
But sexually.
Is it okay to be able to, like, have that emotion towards, that love towards someone that you won't be able... Do you really need a physical body to actually touch once in a while to be able to have that human connection with?
I think so.
I think
you
should. There's
know,
nothing
that
wrong
was,
with it.
That was very much a real thing in this movie. You know, he was into internet porn. They talked about sex a lot. They portrayed sex a lot, whether it was with real people or not. And they were very free. And, you know, one of the first questions he had with Amy Adams when talking about, oh, my God, you're involved with an OS was the sex talk. So, I mean, it does make it very realistic that, you know, like, sex is very real when it comes to a relationship that's needed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so to answer your question, yes, to a certain degree, but you'll always want that physical connection.
Interesting.
I agree. I think it's okay to have it, but at some point, it's not going to be all of it.
And I think that's the point of the movie. At the very end, they weren't compatible. You know, she was growing up. She was becoming more intelligent.
She was growing up.
Yeah, she was evolving.
She abandoned him. Stupid OS system.
Catherine was very offended by this point.
In a very cult-like manner.
I actually wasn't even surprised that that happened. Towards the beginning of the movie, I'm like, this is going to end with her outgrowing him.
Yes.
Because she's an operating system. I didn't think she was going to do it the way that she did it. But when she did it that way, I'm like, yeah, she's going into some type of the Matrix universe now.
Yeah.
Where she's going to have her type of potential. But so I wasn't even offended because I was expecting it. I was a little shocked at how she did it because I thought it was very humane the way she did it. I thought it was just going to be one day she was just going to cut the phone line, you know, there was not going to be a connection. But the way that she did it, where she talked to him and she explained, I thought that was the most humane part of the whole movie. Because that's breaking up the way humans break up. You're a machine, you could just shut off and that'll be it. So I was impressed by that.
Yeah,
totally agree. I think that's a good point, a good lesson to the story.
Yes.
It's a great movie.
Yeah, liked it?
I did.
Even though it was disturbing?
I liked the fact that it was disturbing.
Yeah?
Yeah. You gotta have a good film to cause your audience to have that kind of emotion.
Any criticisms towards the film? I thought...
I have to think about it.
I thought it was a little bit long. And I'm usually good with slow burn movies, but I felt like... After a certain point, it felt like it
could
have stopped.
They dragged on the romance, I think.
A little bit, the romance part
was dragged out a little bit.
I felt like there were times where it was overly melodramatic. You know, like when he was like, I love you, is that okay? You know, like just like all those hypothetical questions kind of felt like a mini soap opera. But
with a little overkill.
A little bit. But I think overall it was... great message.
I don't know. I think I enjoy the fact that it was a bit long because it was like a roller coaster ride, and relationships are like that. You get to a point where I don't know that you're infatuated with this person, but then you have your ups and downs, and then you know there's a low point, but then you know what? Maybe this can work, and let's try it out.
And that's
a good
point.
So I think
that's
what they wanted us to feel.
And that's why I really enjoyed Amy Adams' performance because
she was very
when she broke up. And she was describing the argument that created the divorce. I felt like we've all been there somehow.
Yeah,
you know.
True.
So I felt like it got a lot of emotional support in that
scene. I think her character needed to be that way, the way that she is, because you
kind of mellowed, kind of
exactly
a little bit down.
Exactly, just like this monotone,
throughout
the film, because you need that. Yeah. Everything else was just like emotions here, emotions that. I'm confused.
True. She balanced it out.
I just need some stability,
a
and I think she did a very
good
job.
Yeah, she grounded the relationship in a way that. Theo and his Samantha.
Thomas? Is his name Thomas?
No.
Oh.
Theodore.
Oh shit, I've been calling him Thomas.
No.
You guys didn't correct me.
No. Theo and Samantha. You know, it's a very unique relationship. So the fact that you have Amy Adams, Amy, I think her name was in the film.
Yeah.
She was kind
and
of the ground.
Her appearance was very just bland.
That I didn't mind. I actually thought, so there's a good question. What did you guys think about the actual appearance
of
the character?
It was annoying.
I thought his was way off for the future. Theodore. The way he dressed, the way he presented himself.
Oh, no, I thought it was great.
Oh, my God, I hated it the whole time.
The future was kind of like old days, like kind of the 50s, 60s look, you know? So I think it was just retro style.
I just... thought it could have been better, and it clashed to me. That's what I felt.
Clash.
I felt like what he was wearing clashed.
All
of
his outfits.
He was wearing at one point like a bright colored shirt, right? Like
but
orange.
It went well with the backgrounds of all the scenes. Like you had the scene with the OS and it had like a nice like rosy background color, and he was wearing the same colored shirt. So I think
that's why I was like, I don't know. I think that's what you liked, I didn't like. I didn't like the fact that his shirt matched the wall.
Yeah, but that was the future that we were in.
I don't like the way that Amy Adams looks.
Homogized.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I thought like she looked a little bit too pale. I thought she was just so pretty, and then this movie just like dulled it a lot.
But I
and
liked it because
different.
She was dull.
I thought it was good for this character, for the type of personality she was trying to portray. It fits her well, like that stability, that like, you know, that dullness, I think it was needed. But it just kind of irked me a bit because I felt like there was so much more to her beauty that it just didn't come out, even the way that she dressed.
Yeah. Mm. I think her dress brought down the whole giving up part. She was even dressed not to impress because she's had it, you know. So
yeah, I agree.
I kind of like that. Right.
Yeah, nice.
Cool.
One last point. I forgot the girl's name, but the date that he went on.
Oh, Olivia Wilde?
I love her.
She's awesome.
I love her.
And I think these are some sort of breakout role for her where she's not very robotic like she was in Tron.
Yeah.
Where she actually has a little bit of a personality.
Yeah.
But I like that. I liked her.
But she was in House. There was a lot of personality there. She was in House. That was her. She was lesbian, and she was straight, and she was a lesbian. It was a good role for her. She's a great actress. That's one of the actresses that I'm waiting for her to be big, to have, like, her big year. Like, I think Jennifer Lawrence, it was her year, 2013. Yeah. I'm waiting for the... What's her name?
Olivia Wilde.
Yeah. I'm waiting for her to have her year, because she's had a lot of really good roles that have expressed a lot of, like, complex characters,
she
does an amazing job. She cries, she laughs, she's sexy, she's sporty, she's robotic, she's everything.
Yeah, I agree. Nice. I like her.
All right, so out of 4 stars, Natalie, what do you rate her?
Out of... do I rate her?
Yeah, no, her, the movie.
Oh, and her, the movie.
Yeah. And you could do half stars, like 2.5, 3.5.
I would rate a 3.5. I don't rate 4.
Okay.
But
so
definitely
it's pretty strong.
Pretty strong. I like the movie. It's a great concept. It portrayed a lot of emotions. The actors are great actors. They had a complicated personality to deal with, but they all expressed them pretty well. I liked them.
Nice.
Very interesting. It makes you think. I like that kind of stuff.
I agree. I would give it 3 stars. I think that...
Oh!
No, it's good. I just,
still pretty solid.
It's good. It's not a film for me. I mean, I think... It's a film that I would always carry.
Really?
You know how there's certain films that you just...
I looked over and I saw you smiling ear to ear.
I wasn't smiling at all. I was very
uncomfortable.
And that's why I give it 3.5. Because I would like ruin
over.
the whole
But her, I saw, like, you were laughing off the bat.
I was.
You were like,
it's a great film. I do. It's just, I give it 3.
It's not your type
of
film.
I'm content, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, I loved it. I do. It is my type of film, but
what do you
she's
think
not
for
like,
a relationship film?
What do you mean, like a...
Like
bring your date to a film?
No, but I meant like this. I mean, we talked a lot about that already, but... Do you feel like it kind of touched base with certain realities of a relationship?
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
And
I think so.
And it's still not a movie for you, even though that you can relate to a lot of that?
I can relate to it. I'm all big about relating to characters and seeing the growth of character development and whatnot. And
it didn't fully impress
but
Catherine.
But you know what? There's something about it. I still can't put my finger on it. It's just like, I can forget this film in a way. You know, it's like I can bring it. I've learned a lot from it, but it made me uncomfortable.
And I think that's
the difference.
That's
what it is.
I think that's the difference, that the uncomfortableness will make you forget it. The uncomfortableness will make me remember it.
Yeah.
Because I never feel that emotion when I look at films. I laugh a lot. I cry a lot. I never feel uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But this film made me uncomfortable, so I know a few months from now I'm like, okay, you know that movie Her? Oh my god, that's such an uncomfortable movie. And the fact that that script, it started out as a book somewhere that someone wrote, could cause that kind of impression in me, makes it 3.5. But I think the fact that it made you uncomfortable, you're probably not going to be thinking this is my top
movie.
Exactly.
I would probably go on the line of Natalie and rate it a 3.5. I really liked it. I thought it was just a very unique script, a unique way of telling the story.
Why wouldn't you do 4 stars? I'm just curious.
I thought about that while like approaching the end. I'm like, oh, what would I give this? And I felt like it could have really stopped at a certain point, and at a certain point I was just, I saw the melodrama, I saw that, you know, I was getting antsy at some point, so, and I felt like it didn't hit home, it didn't really connect with certain emotions that I felt with other relationship movies, some movies that she didn't like, Kathy, but like Blue Valentine, or even certain elements of Place Beyond the Pines. Even there was some relationship between Ryan Gosling and Eva Mendes' relationship where, you know, I kind of really was in tune thinking about the Broken Circle Breakdown movie, the trailer that we saw in the beginning of that movie. There was a lot of relationship building that I really related to, but I felt like it just didn't hit home. Didn't really solidify in this movie. But there was a lot there, though, that I could definitely relate to, but that wasn't really the reason why I gave it 3.5. Still highly recommendable. I could see this in my top 10 at the end of this year, but I'm happy giving it a 3.5.
Great.
Yeah.
Nice. Any other comments about this movie? Should we wrap it up?
I have no more comments.
I don't either.
So, Her, directed by Spike Jonze, highly recommended by us three.
Yeah,
go and watch it.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm lying on the moon, my dear, I'll be there soon. It's a quiet, starry place. Times we're swallowed up in space. We're here a million miles away. A million miles away. A million.